They're just around the corner with a great selection of your favorite game day snacks.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I ever have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. And joined here today, as always, by Dan Strauss and Eon the Peon. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, Paul.
Fabulous, Paul. Just fabulous.
The weather for the weekend in New York City for the Super Bowl, probably about 40, 42 degrees.
Really?
The weather in Miami, Florida, 81, 82 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I was almost hoping for snow.
Yeah.
You know, when I first heard that they announced that it was going to be at the Meadowlands in February, I wanted it to be a snow bowl like that game that they played in Philadelphia, the Eagles and the Detroit Lions, weeks ago.
Couldn't hardly see in front of you. It was the flakes were huge.
8 or 9 inches of snow on the ground.
Yes.
The kind of football that we all used to play when we were kids.
And they took the leaf blowers out on the and they would sweep and shovel the lines.
I believe they used snow blowers.
Yeah. Was it snow blowers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then they digitally laid over the actual yard numbers on the field.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Fox did that. They won't have to do that on Sunday. But I'm looking forward to the game. You know, I'm actually, because I think that the Broncos and the Seahawks are going to give us a great game, I'm glad that the weather is going to be fine, you know, and not sleet or really windy, because that would affect Peyton Manning's game too much. And I'm looking forward to the whole thing, including the commercials. And unlike every other media outlet or media person, I don't know anything about the commercials.
I don't either, except the commercial that I've seen bits and pieces
of. Don't tell me about it. I am purposely trying to avoid everything about this game. I'm not watching any pregame analysis, because I could do that myself, and I'm not watching any of the clips. I don't know why, in a society where people have DVRs that they bought specifically to skip commercials, people are actively going online, oh, I got to check YouTube today. Maybe there's another Super Bowl commercial up there.
Which I can't believe that they're releasing them before, because that was the charm of the Super Bowl commercials, seeing them for the first time.
Yeah, so that's what I still want to have on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, I know for publicity reasons why they release them ahead of time, and you can get a little bit of buzz going about it and get social media talking about your commercial for whatever it's for.
Well, this one is an Anheuser-Busch commercial, and that's as far as I'll go. But
did you hear the story about the
bits and pieces of it?
The Super Bowl tickets
that
were won?
No.
It was an Old Spice ad that will be airing for the Super Bowl, but it's been online, you know, beforehand. And on the commercial, a woman writes down a phone number and hands it to a guy. So this guy called it, and sure enough, it was Old Spice. Congratulations, you won 2 tickets to the Super Bowl. They said 1,000 people called the number over the course of the first day and a half.
Because they saw it online?
Yes.
And
it was a little Easter egg.
But they didn't all get Super Bowl tickets, did they?
No, I think 2 people won.
That's a nice little thing to have hidden in there. That's pretty good. I thought you were going to tell me that it actually was somebody's real phone number.
No.
Oh, when you bought Old Spice, there was a little egg or something, and it had a phone number in there, and then you call it.
Yeah, no, you have to explain Easter eggs to Dan. Now.
Easter eggs are, they have them in DVD, movies and things like that. They're just little surprises that are hidden in
a little hidden message that's in there.
Okay.
When they first started coming out with extra features on DVDs, there were a lot of Easter eggs on there. If you're watching it, and if you could click on something on the screen, then it might take you to another special hidden feature that was behind there that told you the making of that sort of thing.
Okay.
And so in this case, Ian's talking about the Easter egg, and that was that you could see the phone number on screen on YouTube, and then somebody called that and
won tickets.
Wow.
Because I thought you were going to give the story, which we've heard 1,000 times, of somebody gave out a phone number, and it turned out to be some real person's phone number. And some woman got called 1,100 times an hour for the first 3 days.
When the Tommy Two Tone song came out,
8675309.
That's a real number over in it was around.
It's Peoria.
That for 314. Oh. It was a real phone number over in North County around Chambers and New Halls Ferry in that area.
Yeah. And those people got driven crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what happens now if you call it.
I don't know.
Let's not call it.
No.
and I'm going to tell our listeners, don't call the number, please.
Jenny?
Jenny there?
Please don't do that. There was a guy who had the license plate. The reason I said Illinois is because I remember a story about a guy who got the Illinois license plate, 8675309, and got it for his wife, whose name is
Jenny.
Debbie.
No, really?
It's Jenny.
Wow.
Of course it's Jenny. It wouldn't work as a joke the other way. Hi, Sarah. Guess what I got you? Jenny's phone number.
Who's Jenny?
But those phone screw-ups are the reason why in TV commercials, in TV ads, and in TV shows and in movies, whenever somebody has to call somebody, call me at 555.
Yeah.
They always have that prefix, which when you call, you used to get information.
Really?
555, and then anything was just like dialing 411.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But I don't think that...
That's always the movie and TV prefix for the 555.
Does anyone still call information? In an age where so many people have smartphones that can figure it out for you?
I haven't forever called information.
I can't remember the last time I called information or used an operator to place a call. My wife and I were just telling our daughter about this, about how we can remember how when we were in college, you would have a time when you would call your parents and you would call person-to-person collect.
Yes.
But you'd make up the name of the person who was either calling or who it was for.
Yeah.
And your parents would know, oh, that's my son who's calling, but they would not take the call.
It's like a code.
Yeah. And then they would call you back from home because they could then pay the call.
No, I don't accept as the a regular.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every Sunday.
We have a person-to-person collect call for Gern Blanston. I'm sorry. Gern is not here.
Right. And then there'd be a relative over at the house who didn't understand that. I'll get the phone for you. Yes, we'll accept the charge. No!
Yeah. You don't understand what we're doing.
And when you did that, as I recall, the charges were like $11 a second.
Yes.
That's why you call back and the whole phone call cost 19 cents, but that first contact was way
But if you have MCI, you can get it for, remember, like four cents a minute or something.
I do remember that.
MCI, and there were a couple others.
Yeah. Coming up on the show today, I'm going to play an interview I recorded this morning with David Steinberg, who's a comedy legend. And there's going to be a documentary about his career that's going to air on Showtime on Monday night, right before the third season of his interview show, Inside Comedy.
Great series.
Where he talks to two comedians on each show. My complaint about the show, and I told him this last year when I had him on and I talked to him, was that the show is only a half hour and he has two comedians on. And that's not nearly enough time for these people.
It should be an hour, and they should both get a half hour.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I said to him last year, there have to be, a lot of extra minutes of that. Why don't you put that stuff on the web? He said, well, we thought about it. We just never really got around to it. Maybe we'll do that. And then the same thing I would say about Jerry Seinfeld's show that is only online, which is Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, which I've enjoyed. I think that's in its third season already. And the one that just came out last night was him with Tina Fey, which is pretty good. just reinforced how much I like Tina Fey, not just as a comedian, but as a person. She just seemed like the kind of person you'd like to hang out with, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. Of course, plus she's beautiful.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, if she and I were in the same place at the same time, I'd be one of those guys she rejected.
Mm-hmm. No, although or maybe not. Maybe she's too nice.
Well, you know what? She talks in the Seinfeld thing about how she never really got any attention because it was always... She was never, you know, classically beautiful in any way. And she was always the funny girl. Oh, yeah, Tina is the funny girl.
Did she talk about her scar when she got attacked?
No.
No.
No, it didn't come up. But I thought that was a pretty good one this week. And, I wish that there were more. I'm surprised that Seinfeld doesn't put up extras or outtakes. Because the whole thing's, what, like 15, 17 minutes long?
But, you know, they film 6-7 hours, bro.
Yeah, he picks her up. They go for lunch. And then later on, they go for coffee and snacks. And
had a cronut?
That's right, they did. They went to the guy who invented the cronut there in New York City. Did you see the one that was on last week with another comedian by the name of Todd Barry?
Yes. Unfortunately, I did.
Did you see this, Dan?
No, I didn't.
Don't watch it. I'd never heard of Todd Barry. Had you?
Yes. Yeah, he was in an episode of Louie. He's been on a couple episodes of Louie's show.
Okay.
I don't know what else he's been in, but he's been a comedian for a long time. But
boring.
Yes.
I would say of the 20 or so shows that Seinfeld has done with other comedians, this was the one where if you had to guess, you would not guess that guy's a comedian.
Yeah. He maybe said 20 words the whole episode.
Had nothing to say.
It was Jerry essentially doing a one-man show.
Yeah. In fact, there are scenes of them driving, and in every one of these, they're driving in the car. That's why the name, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and Seinfeld loves cars. But there are scenes where they're driving where neither one of them is saying anything, and you can almost read Seinfeld's face thinking, I brought you along here to tell some stories and be funny.
Yeah,
you're just sitting there letting the hair blow you back.
Yeah. What do you like to do? What hobbies? Do you do anything? No.
No?
No.
Oh, that one-word answer.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he had no hobbies. He does nothing with his life. And
it's Frank. He had Frank in the car.
No, Todd didn't talk.
No, Frank Frank would tell stories and jokes Frank and would. All that stuff, although maybe not with Seinfeld because he hates him.
Yeah. That's right.
Speaking of Seinfeld, he made a little bit of other news yesterday. There's been this rumor that he's been working on a reunion, a Seinfeld reunion show.
I heard
that.
Yes,
they were seen at the... the restaurant.
At Tom's Diner.
Yes.
Which was basically the setting where they had all the coffee shop scenes, coffee shop scenes in the series. And so yesterday, Seinfeld was on a morning sports talk show on the CBS Sports Network, which is Boomer Esiason and a guy named something Carton. I don't know what his first name is. And there's a
Milk.
Milk Carton, that's right. That's why we pay him the big bucks. And the guy who I think is the Dan Strauss of that show, a guy named by the name of Al. And I just want to play this because they kind of grilled him with like 21 questions about this rumor.
We saw photos of you with Jason Alexander roaming the New York streets by Tom's Diner.
That's right.
Everyone on the internet was very excited.
Yeah, everyone's on the internet.
So everyone was guessing it's either a commercial or it's another Comedians in Cars with Jason.
It's neither.
What?
It's neither a Super Bowl commercial,
nailed
which is one
it.
Rumor.
It is not.
And it's not Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
It is not.
What is
But it is not, not those things either. It's a secret project.
A secret project?
Yeah.
It's not called Seinfeld, is it?
No.
Well, give us something.
I did.
You didn't give us
I
anything.
Gave you more now than I've given anyone. I told you what it isn't.
Right.
And then I also told you that it isn't not that either.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Yeah.
Was it filmed?
Sure. Yes, it was.
It was.
It was filmed.
It was filmed.
All right. What was this, nice. 21 questions?
Yeah, let's
it's like one of those long 5-hour car rides to Vermont. You're done playing jogs with the kids, so you start playing 21 questions just to keep them occupied.
Were other Seinfeld...
Oh, just question number 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Were other Seinfeld characters involved?
Yes, there were.
Oh, he's onto something.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Nailed it.
Ask him who filmed it.
Who filmed that? What company filmed that?
Oh. I can't answer that question.
Was this a short form or long form filming?
look at this. Mm. It's like 60 minutes.
He's really Mike Wallacing me here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm Al Duke.
It's a shortish form.
Was Jason playing George, or was he being Jason in this film with the piece?
Ooh. George. He's George.
George.
Yeah.
Ah, ooh.
You want to know if Larry David was involved?
I heard he was involved.
He was involved.
Was he on camera or no?
No.
No. Okay. Was his
Let's
voice,
flip over all the cards.
Was why, his, why not? Why not? Was his voice heard during the filming?
No.
Interesting. Anything else?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
When will we see this?
Good one, Boomer.
Boomer, finally, from the cheap seats.
Yeah.
Hello. Participate.
Very, very soon.
Very,
very, very soon. Yeah.
Was this a Was this a one and done, or will things continue?
Interesting.
Interesting.
I think it's one and done.
Is it longer than 60 seconds?
Yes.
Interesting.
Was Jason surprised to get the phone call for this?
I like the Russian interrogation meter, you know.
These are the techniques that you use.
Water tortures that.
What was it? Was Jason surprised?
Was it like, oh, interesting, like that?
When you call him to have him come participate.
No, he remembers that he played that character for 9 years. He was not surprised that he was asked to play George.
Anything else, Al? You have two questions left.
You're doing very well, Al.
This filming, was it all done at the coffee table? The diner table where you always are?
No, there was other locations,
All right, so that's Seinfeld yesterday on the Boomer and Carton show on the CBS Sports Network with Jerry Seinfeld.
That explains why I heard this morning on the news that there's a possible Seinfeld reunion show in the works.
Yeah, it's getting blown completely out of proportion. When it finally does turn out to be whatever it is that they've done here, anybody who thinks it's going to be, oh, they're bringing everybody back and there's going to be a Seinfeld reunion special, I guarantee you that's not what it's going to be.
You know, it's interesting. The other night, the cable went out, and we didn't know what to do. You don't know what to do. What do we do? There's no TV. So I get my phone out, and I type in Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'll watch an episode or something. And I found it says Seinfeld bloopers. Season 1 through 5.
Oh, man, those are great.
I watched that.
Those were on all the DVD extras.
Oh, man, it was hysterical.
Yeah.
And it just kept going and going. The one thing that I took out of that was that Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Louis.
Yeah, Louis-Dreyfus. She screwed up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Alexander was kind of next in line with that.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Richards kind of got irritated.
Yeah, he almost never broke up.
Yeah, and he got irritated with some of the stuff. When Julia Louis, she couldn't get her stuff a line down or something like that, he'd just and walk away and get aggravated. It's like, man, lighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're all cracking up.
Here's what I would say to Michael Richards about that. Let's compare careers now.
Yes. Well, now he's on with...
he's on Kirstie.
Yeah, Kirstie. He's on that show now. Kirstie Alley.
Ask me in 6 months how his career is going.
Real Pearlman.
We got a break. When we come back, Jerry Seinfeld's name will come up in the next segment, an interview with comedy legend David Steinberg here on the Big 550 KTRS.
And we're going to see how traffic looks on this Friday afternoon heading home. Here's Tim Weiland.
Hey, thanks, Dan. It looks like we may have an accident on westbound 270 near 170 that's got two lanes blocked. Everything else is running pretty well. You do have a stalled vehicle. It's on eastbound 270 at Bell Fountain. Some road construction. Southbound 55 after 203. The right lane is closed there. And eastbound 70 before Memorial, you've got a right lane shut down due to construction also. And this traffic report is brought to you by the Exogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. When buying a thermometer, trust over 50 published studies supporting the accuracy of the Exogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Your family deserves the best. Pick one up at Babies R Us and Toys R Us or other fine retailers today. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
I'm Jim.
I'm John.
It's the Inside Out Show. All the information you'll need to do stuff around the house. That's the Inside Out Show.
This week, the Inside Out Show is not on at its normal time. You'll still get great advice from John Shea and Jim McMillan, but at a special time this week due to Missouri Tiger basketball.
My partner John Shea and me are not professional radio people, but John is an excellent home remodeler, and I've been a nurseryman for over 50 years.
It's the Inside Out Show. 5 p.m. on Saturday on KTRS.
Just give us a call. It's interesting and fun to listen to.
Hey, you know why thousands of homeowners have had their homes coated with RhinoShield permanent ceramic coating? To eliminate the hassle and expense of painting year after year after year. With RhinoShield's 25-year warranty, you coat your home once and you're done, guaranteed. And guys, not only can you scratch painting your home every few years off your honey-do list, RhinoShield comes in your favorite color, the color that makes your wife happy. RhinoShield is perfect for wood, brick, stucco, hardy board, steel, and vinyl. And unlike vinyl, RhinoShield resists mold and mildew. So why wait? Call now for your free estimate. 877-25-RHINO. RhinoShield permanent ceramic coating for your home or business. 877-25-RHINO.
Don't paint, don't vinyl. Go RhinoShield. Never paint your house again. RhinoShield.
RhinoShield permanent ceramic coating. It's more affordable than you think. Call 877-25-RHINO or visit 877-25-RHINO.com.
Hi, this is John Chay, Mr. Fix-It, with some good news for our listeners. How many of you listening have an old TV or bulky entertainment center taking up valuable space in your home? Well, then you need to call Pitchett at 314-932-1100 and take advantage of their excellent service, as many of our listeners have. Pitchett provides a residential commercial junk removal service with very affordable rates. Their friendly staff at Pitchett will arrive at your location, remove your unwanted items, and you don't even have to lift a finger. They'll remove the item from your basement, your attic, anywhere they're located, and then clean up after themselves. Pitchett will provide free estimates. They'll visit your location on your schedule, not theirs, and provide you with a quote on the spot. Pitchett is an eco-friendly recycling most items within reason, and of course they are fully insured. So give them a call at 314-932-1100. That's 314-932-1100. Or visit their website at pitchitandforgetit.com. That's pitchitandforgetit.com. Senior discounts apply.
Since 1974, homeowners in the greater St. Louis area have trusted PermaJack more than any other contractor when their house is settling or if they have bowing and buckling walls. But who do you call when you notice water in the basement? Well, it's also PermaJack. The representatives at PermaJack are extremely knowledgeable in all aspects of foundation repair, including leaky basements. PermaJack provides permanent solutions to all your nagging water problems, whether it's a simple crack repair or a comprehensive drain system. They will make sure your basement remains dry, and they'll back it up with a written guarantee. So for home settling problems, bowing and buckling walls, or if you have a leaky basement, call the company St. Louis has trusted for over 30 years, PermaJack. Call PermaJack today at 636-225-2553. That's 636-225-2553. Family owned and operated since 1974. When your building needs a helping hand, solid as a rock. PermaJack, 636-225-2553.
Hi, you can't see me because of radio, and I can't see you because I'm totally blind. My blindness doesn't hold me back, but I fight to stay awake during the day because I'm not sleeping through the night. Often I struggle to concentrate and just keep up. Sound familiar? You're not alone. But this is not a sleep disorder. It's actually NON24. Learn about the link between total blindness and your symptoms. Visit learnmorenon24.com or call 855-856-2424.
This message is brought to you by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
I'll bet you have a drawer full of old jewelry sitting at home that you don't know what to do with. Dump that out on your bed and sort it into two piles. Things that have sentimental value and another pile that, could go either way. I'm Matt McCormick. I'll take that pile of questionable jewelry and sort it into the things that have value and the things that don't. You might be surprised how much it's actually worth at Missouri Coin Company. And while you're at it, bring your coins, currency, and watches to Missouri Coin Company. We're a mile east of 270 on Manchester.
The Missouri Coin Company.
At Advance Auto Parts, saving cash on oil is your advance advantage. Right now at Advance, get 5 quarts of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil plus a Pure Liter classic oil filter for just $21.99. And if your car has over 75,000 miles, you can upgrade to Castrol high mileage oil and a filter for just $3 more. Keep your car running smooth and keep your wallet lumping because of all the cash only at
Advance Auto Parts. See store for details.
The Big 550 is your home for everything Mizzou. Tune in this Monday night from 6:30 till 9 for Mizzou Monday, live from Friendly Sports Bar and Grill in South City with John Hadley and Jim Huer. We'll recap the last game, preview the next, and for everyone at Friendly Sports Bar and Grill, we'll have more fun off the air. Mizzou Mondays, live from Friendly Sports Bar and Grill in South City. Brought to you by Mixed Fusions by Nicki Minaj. Premium imported Moscato infused with natural fruit juices. Naturally sweet, sparkling, and refreshingly carbonated. Mixed Fusions by Nicki Minaj and the Big 550 KTRS.
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris with Dan Strauss and Eon the Peon. And special guest now, if I listed all of the credits of this guy, I would frankly not have enough time to talk to him. So, I mean, he's been in the business for 50 years. Let me just plug that he has a new season of his Showtime series Inside Comedy that's debuting this Monday night, where he sits down with Jimmy Fallon and Zach Galifianakis. And before that airs, you're going to see a 90-minute documentary about his career called Quality Balls. His name is David Steinberg. David, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
Likewise. Let's start with the title, Quality Balls.
Yes. Well, as you know, it's a documentary on me, so I didn't get the I didn't have the choice of anything, so it is something that Jerry Seinfeld says in the documentary about me. You know, he says David Steinberg, he had quality balls. So the producer, the director, my wife, everybody said, that's a great title, and let's go for it. I said, the story of my life is going to be called Quality Balls? Oh, my God.
Mom and Dad are going to be so proud.
Exactly. Huh? Yeah. And the rabbis at the yeshiva I used to go to, how about them?
What does it mean?
Well, I guess it means that the surprise about me is how much controversy I had in my career relative to other comedians. I think that's what they're dealing with.
You know, last year when we talked, we got into the Smothers Brothers controversy. Yes. And your sermon there and all that.
Yes.
But in this documentary, which I've had a chance to see, Johnny Carson says that you always made the censors nervous. Every time you were going to be on his show or any show, the censors were nervous. Did you have a lot of problems with the censors after the Smothers Brothers?
It wasn't because of the Smothers Brothers. It was because of the subjects that I chose, which was Nixon in an election year at a time when there were things about how the White House worked that we didn't know about in those days, you know, in the early 70s.
Yep.
So the as you know, Paul, it's called the Imperial Presidency for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Don't attack it. Don't go near it. It has all the power and whatever. And I'm a Canadian. I could, you know, so long as I'm getting laughs, I should be able to say whatever I want. So I went at Nixon in an election year. I've only realized this in retrospect. And the Tonight Show was one of three networks, and it influenced a lot of people. And I didn't think any of that. You know, I thought, I'm a 5'7" guy from Winnipeg, Canada, as a comedian, just sort of making my way. I never thought Nixon's people or Nixon himself, I don't know if he, I never thought that the White House is watching me on the Tonight Show.
In fact, they put you on the Nixon enemies list.
It's true. That is true.
How do you find out about that, by the way? It wasn't contemporary. In those days, you didn't find out, oh, I'm on the list. It was later, right?
Yeah, I found out because it's something that comes up in the documentary. What happened is I was considered an underground comedian at the time, or counterculture, I think, was the term. And I played mostly colleges in the Village, you know, in the Bitter End, you know, mostly what the Coen Brothers new movie is about. That was my, I opened for folk singers or vice versa.
Yep.
And I finally got so known through the Tonight Show, thanks to Johnny, that I got a very big above-ground venue, and that was the Plaza Hotel, the Oak Room. And there was a lot of press on it, and it was a huge Celebrity Night. And at that time, you know, I went in and out of certain pieces of material, as a comedian does. Sometimes you're in this, you're talking about this stuff, sometimes you're talking about that stuff. At that time, at the Plaza, I was talking about Nixon for at least 15 minutes of a 40-minute show.
Mm-hmm.
But it was volatile. So what happens, it was almost my best material because no one was doing it at that time.
Yeah.
No one. And there might have been, but I sort of had access to an audience. And at the Plaza Hotel there that night, my sister there, my ex-wife at the time, and we're all waiting for just about to go on. There's a knock on the door, and so they say, the FBI. They say it before they even come in. I said, the FBI? You know, I at that time, I flushed whatever I had down the toilet. I think including a good suit. And they came in. They said, Mr. Steinberg, we're whatever our names are, and there's been an assassination threat that came through the switchboard if you do your Nixon material tonight.
Wow.
This is like an hour before I go on.
Uh-huh.
So we advise you not to do it, but we're not saying that you should or you shouldn't. And all we want you to know is that we will be there around the whole room, standing around to protect you should you choose to go on and all that, you know. And, you know, in truth, Paul, I thought, God, what an incredible country, really, that these guys are willing to protect me.
Yeah.
And then those two guys would show up at a lot of my venues. I did the first correspondence dinner, you know, in New York with Walter Cronkite at that time and all the press. And I performed at that. And then when I finished performing there, I was having Patty Schiavsky was a friend of mine. We were meeting. And these guys were there at another hotel just saying, hi, how are you? And I just thought it was coincidental and like that. When Watergate occurred and the whole thing broke wide open, there was a guy named Donald Segretti. Remember,
yep.
Segretti?
Dirty tricks guy.
Yeah, yeah. Dirty tricks is what his job was. Ironically, Segretti means secrets, actually.
Yep.
And behind him, I'm watching this on television, are these two guys who were the supposed FBI following me around.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, all they were doing was just investigating me and blinding, you know, just marking down who our friends were and taking names, as they say.
Let me just go back to the Oak Room backstage for a moment on that first night when they got there. And they tell you, you know, you may not want to do the stuff on the president because somebody may want to kill you over that. As a comedian who knows that you've got a 15-minute chunk on Nixon and you're only going to be on stage for 40 or 45 minutes, did you think to yourself, well, I'm taking that out? Or did you think, I can't kill a third of my act?
Well, it becomes a sort of dialectic. Do you want to die on stage or do you want to die in front of the audience by not having enough good material? So you could see what I stupidly picked for myself, but I'm still here to talk about it, so it was the right decision.
Also in the documentary, it talks about your years in Canada, and I know that at one point, maybe American audiences never saw this, but you had a primetime show in Canada with a cast,
yep,
that included John Candy, Martin Short, yes, Joe Flaherty, and Dave Thomas, which was before they did SCTV,
yep,
right?
Yeah, I'm more proud of that than almost anything else. I found all these people. I found them all and put them together on my show. And after that, I was the one who sort of encouraged them and pushed them into SCTV as I moved on. And that show in Canada, all Canadians know that show because, not because of me as much as look at who these sidekicks were. And Marty Short, they were amazing.
Did you find them because they were playing at Second City in Toronto?
Some were in Second City, and then John Candy said you have to see Joe Flaherty, and then Joe would say you have to see Eugene Levy, you have to see Dave Thomas, and they led me to everybody, and they auditioned for me. The only audition there were two auditions that were weird. I thought Gene Levy hated me. Because he was so, just didn't move. And then I wanted to interview him for this season, but I didn't make it. But I talked to him. Of course, we see each other. We're all friends. And he said, I have something to tell you when we get on the air. I said, well, tell it to me now, because it's 2 weeks before I shoot you and whatever. This is for Inside Comedy.
Yep.
He said, I always felt bad about this. I was downstairs with John Candy, and John Candy, you know, was smoking a joint. And he said, why don't you have a little bit? I'm so nervous. And I had never smoked a joint, Gene Levy said. So John gave him some marijuana. He smoked the marijuana. And when he came up, he just sat there and stared at me for about a half hour. He never said a word. And I always thought, Gene Levy, he hated me. So that, I just found that out. The other audition was Martin Short. And he came in, and he was wildly funny, doing this weird character that I hadn't. Everyone was laughing, and I was laughing. And as he was leaving, I said, "What was that?" But he was doing. Of course, he was doing an impression of me. And no one had ever done an impression of me. I'd never heard that done. And I hired him on the spot. Before he on the bus, he said I was holding on to the strap, just ecstatic that I was going to be on television.
Now, I mentioned that the new season of Inside Comedy, which debuts tomorrow night on Showtime, and then will rerun during the week, and there'll be new episodes every week, that the first episode, you've got Zach Galifianakis, and you also have Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
This is Jimmy's last week doing late night before he takes over The Tonight Show, which Jay Leno is leaving for the second time.
Yeah.
You have a big Tonight Show history. We talked about Carson earlier. You appeared more on that show with him than anybody except Bob Hope.
Yes.
So I'm curious what your perspective is on all of these changes that are going on with that show and the rest of the late night landscape.
Well, let's start with Jimmy himself. Jimmy is the perfect person for this job. Bringing back the Tonight Show to New York, just on a tradition level, is exciting, and I think he's going to soar. I think it's just going to be great in every way. He's one of these people that really reveres the history of the show, I know it sounds just slightly too democratic, but all these guys, Letterman is amazing. And Jay Leno is going to have the best career time. The best time of his career is going to be now, because Jay Leno is a edgy, irreverent stand-up comedian. He always has been. He just sort of suppressed that to not do that on television for whatever reason. But I saw him just like a month and a half ago on stage at a benefit with one great comedian after the other, and everyone was talking about Jay. So I think he's going to have really enjoy being that sort of inside comedian, let that out a little bit. And I think, you know what, I think all these guys, they're there for a reason. Arsenio Hall is charming at it. Conan is so witty. He reminds me sort of what Fred Allen was in his time, just an intelligent guy, sort of awkward as a performer and all of that. So
I'm glad you mentioned the thing about Jay, because I was a huge fan of Jay in his pre-Tonight Show stand-up days, and when he would go on Letterman, you know, everybody who was a stand-up comedian in those days knew that he was the best guy in the room at any time.
Yes.
But when he took over from Johnny, and maybe this was Helen Kushnick's involvement, I don't know, but even since then, it seems like he's kind of rounded off those edges as much as he humanly can. And I haven't seen him do a stand-up act live since then, other than on TV. Why do you think he feels like he still has to do that after 20 plus years?
Well, I'd be guessing, but my guess is that you have a choice when you get a show of your own, and it's what part of you are you going to show as a comedian, which he is, and the most important part is the wild child within you. How much of that you let out is how good or bad you are. Some of it goes into bad taste, some of it doesn't, but basically that's what the audience connects with, this sort of irreverent pushing the envelope and all of that. Another choice you might make for yourself is to, rather than be that sort of like crazy nephew, you become an avuncular uncle and just let everyone else sit there and you're going to be charming and all of that. That to me is a mistake. And I think he suppressed this sort of comedian part of himself, this wild side that he has. It's not wild, it's just irreverent. And I think, so far as he's concerned, he had a long and successful career, you know?
Yep.
But if he would have not done that and gone the other way, he still would have had a long and successful career, and we wouldn't be having this conversation, is what I think.
Yeah, and I think you're right about Fallon. I think he's doing stuff on his current show that is really clever and interesting.
Yeah.
And most of all, unlike some of the other guys who are in Late Night, including Letterman and including Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon looks like he's really having fun.
He is having fun. This is the most delightful person, Jimmy. You know, he's having a good time. People on his show reflect him. You know, the producer, Rob, is his friend and writer. And he's having a good time. He can do everything. It is amazing to me, Paul, that we're looking back at my career through this documentary and it's lasted so long because I have no range whatsoever. Jimmy could do impressions, he could play the guitar, he could do music. The way I'm talking to you is all that I've ever talked to an audience. It is a gift from the gods, actually.
Now, I want to ask you about one other thing, and then I'll let you go here.
Sure.
And then we'll talk again next year.
Anytime.
Okay. In the documentary, there's a discussion of this character that you created, first on stage in clubs and then on TV, the psychiatrist.
Yes.
The psychiatrist who is actually kind of crazier than anybody who's going to walk into the place.
Yeah.
And when I used to watch that on TV, it literally made me laugh out loud. People say that all the time. They overuse laugh out loud, and they also overuse literally. I'm using them both because they're both true here.
Yes.
Can you explain the genesis of that bit and what it did to the audience whose expectations you turned upside down?
Yes. Well, it was actually one of my favorite things to do live. My favorite thing. I would improvise it, but still stay within the form that you remembered. So we were at Second City, and we got a suggestion from the audience. You know, after you do your show at Second City, then there's an improv set, and that's where you create the stuff for the next show. So one of the suggestions from the audience was psychiatrist. So I said to one of the guys that was there, I'll go out and I'll be the nuttiest patient you've ever seen, and you come on and you be the psychiatrist. And he said, fine. And in fact, he wanted to do the scene with me very badly. So I went out there. And I saw there was a sombrero on hanging backstage. I put the sombrero on. I started to leap through the air saying, you know, I'm in the mood for love. You know, I was just as nutty as no one would want to have this guy as a patient. Then it occurred to me, the audience was laughing so hard at what I was doing. I said, what if I am really the psychiatrist rather than the patient?
Yep.
So I hung that hat on an imaginary nail that was not there, and I went, Miss Jones, send in the next patient, please. And JJ, the actor, he changed immediately and came in as the patient. And had he not done that, I wouldn't have had that scene. And that scene caught fire that night, unbelievably, and it worked everywhere I went. People went, those who know my work real well still greet me with booga booga and get off and all the things that I used to do. Get off of me. Yes. I had things on my shoulder when I would see things on the floor and the patient would look at them. I say, don't look at them. That's what they like. I had so much. It was the most fun thing to do. And to me, it was my own little personal tribute to the Marx Brothers, who were my favorite.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that because I always loved that lineage, and it was definitely there.
That was Groucho, yeah.
All right, so Inside Comedy debuts tomorrow night. You've got Jimmy Fallon and Zach Galifianakis. Who do you have later in the season?
I have Jonah Hill, Alan Arkin, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Bette Midler, Richard Belzer, Key and Peele. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Oh, yeah, they're very funny.
They're spectacular. spectacular, you know, Gary Marshall is on with them, so you get sort of the old version of television and the new, the latest version, which is the Key and Peele version.
Yep.
I have Catherine O'Hara and Fred Willard.
Wow.
It's a good, it's really a good group. And what I like about it, Paul, is that no show is like any other show. So it just, it all has a, every show has its own thumbprint.
Thanks, David.
Always talk, good to talk to you, Paul.
That is comedy legend David Steinberg. And during it, Dan kept saying to me, I can't believe this guy's 70 years old.
I know. That's incredible.
I mean, he's such a great storyteller. In the interview, by the way, I kept saying it's on tomorrow night on Showtime. Because when I recorded the interview this morning with him, I was going to air it only on my syndicated show, America Weekend, on Sunday morning. And so when I said tomorrow, I really meant Monday night. So don't set your DVR for tomorrow night to see that stuff. It'll be on Showtime Monday night. However, I can tell you.
And there's always
a however in life.
David Steinberg will be on Jimmy Fallon's show tonight.
Hmm.
So you may want to set the DVR for that. I've always liked him and had a great time talking to him here today on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meep, meep.
And it's time for a look at traffic. Here's Timothy Weiland.
Already having problems out there on westbound 270 at 170. A crash, two left lanes blocked, and traffic is backed up now almost to the Halls Ferry. Southbound 270, that is running slow. Page all the way down through Highway 40. Got another accident. Northbound 270 at Graboid. It's got the right lane blocked. Traffic in those right lanes are backing up almost to Tesson Ferry. Looks like southbound 170 heavy now from Ladue down through Highway 40 and westbound 40. Jamming up now Kings Highway out through McCausland. This report's brought to you by Subway. January's almost over at Subway, so hurry in. Any regular footlong is a $5 footlong. Even favorites like the Subway Melt, Sweet Onion, Chicken Teriyaki, and more, just $5. Get your $5 footlong this January. Subway, eat fresh. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
I sit on the bank of the Hudson River, looking across at New York City. On sunny days, I shine. When it snows, I get very, very cold. I've never missed a day of work. I can honestly say that I carry the weight of the economy on my back. I am 1 mile of CSX railroad track. There are 21,000 more just like me. We're all here to keep things moving forward. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
KTRS St. Louis,
live and local.
Depend on it.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New information about